Science.
Well, welcome to Dear Science, a podcast by the Connecticut Science Center. I am Andrew Foda.
And I am Nick Villagra.
And we work as STEM educators at the Connecticut Science Center, where we get to teach and think about science in so many cool and fun ways. We get to interact with people and show them really interesting things, and we answer questions that people are curious about. We have to admit, though, we don't know everything. So during this podcast, ourselves, as well as other teammates here at the Connecticut Science Center, are going to share with you some questions that we've gotten from people. And I have to warn you, some of these questions are going to be silly, some are going to be serious, but all of them will be very interesting. For example, Nick, when I was a kid, I remember being at home and listening to music that my parents were playing and thinking that there were no new songs being written because they only played the oldie stations. And I thought, I only heard the same songs over and over again. So I thought, well, there must be no more new songs because I'm not hearing anything new. I'm always hearing the same song. So I thought like all musical progress had kind of stopped.
That's it. We've reached the ultimate. Brown Eyed Girl was the pinnacle of that musicianship.
It. That's it. Once you know, Billy Joel put out Piano Man, it was the end of
There's no point
music.
In making more music.
Right. Everyone stopped. And I really, for the longest time, didn't realize there was new music being played. Just my parents didn't listen to it. So
yeah. It's so funny. Kids have these ideas and just latch on to them. It's like, that's
absolutely
how it is.
Yeah. And it's just when you have no more experience outside of that, you know, little bubble you live in when you're a kid, you just don't know what's out there. So
yeah. So these are the kinds of questions that we love hearing about, and we're going to bring onto our podcast and try to dig into them a little bit more. So we actually have got a very interesting question from Sol, aged 4. Let's hear it.
Okay, great.
I got a other question. Why sometimes on TV when people clap, the light turns off or on?
That's a great question. So, hey, Alexa.
Andrew, are you trying to turn off the lights by clapping at your Amazon Echo?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's what I was trying.
I don't think that's how it works.
That's not how it works. No, I have to speak to her. Saul is talking about clapping, and I think she's talking about the clapper where you clapped your hands.
Yeah, and I think we also have a clip that explains it.
Clap on.
Let you turn things on or off from anywhere in the room. Just plug in the clapper and a television, lamp, stereo, almost anything you want to clap on and off.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, the clapper.
That clip sounded kind of old. I'm kind of amazed that a 4-year-old knew about the clapper.
Yeah, that's like ancient history. That was from the 1980s. Yeah, so the clapper has been around for a while.
Wow, but it sounds kind of like a similar idea to Alexa or Google Home. You use sound to control stuff.
Right, just don't install the clapper in a concert hall.
No, that would be that's one way to make a strobe light, though.
Oh, God, my eyes.
So what exactly is the clapper, then?
Okay, so let's start off. Like, physically, it's this box, kind of the size of a smoke detector, and you plug it in the wall, and the box knows you've just clapped and acts like a switch. So it gets electricity starting or stopping to whatever you've got plugged into it. TV, lights, microwave, any of that stuff.
So I have smart plugs at home that look like a little box that I plug devices in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell my Amazon Alexa to turn that light on and it turns that light on. So is it something like that?
Yeah, it's like the early version of that. So using sound to control it, and a loud sound specifically, not your voice.
Okay, but how does the box know you're clapping and to turn things on? How can that box know something like that?
That is a really good question. I was curious about that as well. So I asked Aoife, an expert on this technology. All right, so Saul is curious about the clapper, that little box you plug into the wall that can switch your lights on or off when you clap.
Right, so that thing we use when the light switch might be a little bit too far away.
Oh yeah, just way too far away. Really is the ultimate labor-saving device. But I've got to admit, though, it is pretty cool, even a little mysterious, that me clapping can somehow affect an electrical device. As far as I know, my hands are not electrical.
Sure, but there is actually something in common with electricity and you clapping.
Hmm. Really, what's that?
So those are both examples of energy in action.
All right, so energy is one of those words that I find it tough to come up with a clear definition for because we use it in so many different ways.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, this party has a lot of energy.
Or what about, I don't have the energy to shovel all the snow.
I feel that way all the time.
So energy, you're right. It does have a lot of ways we use it, but there's actually a pretty simple scientific definition. So when we talk about it in science, energy just means the capacity to do work or to move things around.
Okay, so when I'm clapping, I'm using energy to move my hands together.
Exactly. Energy comes from things changing their position, like you clapping your hands together. That's a kind of energy called mechanical energy.
All right, so what about electricity? When my lights are on, I don't see anything moving.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's just because the stuff that's moving is really, really small. It's actually way too small for us to see. So, for example, when an incandescent light bulb is on, there are extremely tiny charged particles called electrons that are moving across a tiny metal string. We call that a filament. And that causes the filament to heat up and to glow.
All right, let me see if I got this. If something's using electricity, it means there are a bunch of electrons zipping around in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, then how does the energy of my clap get to the box?
You heard of dominoes?
Sure.
Kind of like that.
Okay, so tell me a bit about this domino analogy.
All right, so think about it like this. All around us, there are these air molecules, which are invisible. You can think of those air molecules like dominoes. So when you clap, the air molecules near your hand are going to vibrate. You can imagine that like knocking over the first domino. Those vibrating air molecules are then going to hit the molecules next to them, kind of like that first domino hitting the next domino in the row.
Okay, and then those air molecules will hit the next closest ones.
Yeah, and that's going to keep happening until eventually those vibrating air molecules are going to reach the clapper. So this is how sound travels through air.
All right, now I want to talk about the clapper. What's inside of it?
Yeah, so the clapper has a microphone inside of it that is always on.
Ooh, so it's sort of eavesdropping on you?
Yeah, I guess. It's able to detect sounds. Inside that microphone, there's a stretchy sheet called a diaphragm, and that diaphragm will wiggle when air hits it. And that diaphragm is attached to a magnet that wiggles too. And this vibrating magnet is what gets those electrons moving.
So electricity and magnetism are related.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me recap. We've gone from I clap my hands to electricity starts flowing through a microphone.
Exactly. So you remember we said you clapping your hands is mechanical energy. We've converted that mechanical energy into electrical energy.
But it's not every sound that sets off the clapper. That would be really distracting. How does it know that it's specifically a clap and not some other noise like footsteps or jangling keys?
Yeah, that would be awful, right? Every sound turns your lights on and off. So it actually turns out that the sound of a clap falls within a certain frequency range.
Okay, back up. Frequency range. First off, what is frequency? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, okay. So do you remember earlier we were talking about those air molecules vibrating?
Mm-hmm.
So when something vibrates, it makes noise. And if something is vibrating fast, it's going to make a high-pitched noise. And if something is vibrating slow, it's a low-pitched noise. So, yeah, so our clapper is able to distinguish a sound in a certain frequency range.
Okay, so what is this frequency range?
Well, do you want to play a little game maybe to help us figure that out?
Yeah, I think that would really help.
Okay, well, in this game, I need you to be the clapper. Can you do that?
All right. I am the clapper.
All right. Okay. So I need you to go stand over by the light switch.
Okay. I'm over by the light switch.
Okay. So here's how it's going to work, Nick. And people can play along at home, too, if you like. You're going to be my clappers as well if you want to find a light switch. So I went upstairs in the Science Center into our exhibit gallery where we have all kinds of fun stuff, making lots of noise, lots of people having fun. And I recorded the sound of me clapping. All right, let's play that now. All right, so maybe you can hear that clap in with all those other noises.
Yes, it was a lot of different sounds all mixed up together. It was kind of hard to distinguish the clap, but I think I heard it towards the end.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you different frequency ranges of that little sound recording that you heard, and I want you to see when you can distinguish that clap. And when you do, my clappers, you're going to turn off the lights, okay? So we're going to start off with low frequency. See if you can hear the clap.
I'm not turning on the light at all because I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, we're still pretty light in here. Okay, so we did low. Why don't we try high frequency next? All right, take a listen. Okay, we did high, we did low. We're going to go somewhere in the middle now. See if you can hear it this time.
There it is. Turned off the lights. Where am I? Okay. So dark.
So maybe my clappers at home also plunged their rooms into darkness. Nick, you want to turn the lights on before you come back over?
Yeah, I better clap a couple times. All right, there go the lights. Awesome, we're back. All right, so now I get it. So I was the clapper. I heard that clapping sound, and that was what signaled me to turn on the lights.
Right, and so you didn't turn those lights. You didn't flip that switch when we listened to low frequencies or high frequencies, but somewhere in the middle, in the frequency range that we hear a clap. And that frequency range is somewhere between 2200 and 2800 hertz, or by hertz we mean vibrations per second. So 2200 to 2800 vibrations per second.
Okay, so I was able to hear that clap because the clap fell within that range.
Exactly.
Got it. But now I'm curious about how the clapper is able to basically blot out all the other frequency sounds.
Yeah, good question. So it does it with something called a sound filter. Now that sound filter only lets an electrical signal pass through it if it was generated by a sound at that frequency. So everything else, all those other sounds, are just going to get ignored. Now that signal is going to continue on to one of two electrical switches that will flip on. And when both switches are on, whatever the clapper is connected to is also going to turn on.
All right, so I clap once, and a signal goes through and flips a switch. I clap again, another switch gets flipped, and my light turns on.
Yeah, you got it. And it's actually the exact same for turning off the lights, too. If the switch is already on, the electrical signal will flip the switch off.
So it's just like they say.
Clap on.
You got it.
Oh, that jingle is going to be stuck in my head for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Aoife. I applaud your explanation. Lights are going crazy in here. All right, well, the clapper is a little less mysterious to me now.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. And thank you for being so game to play along and be the clapper for us. And thanks for having me, Nick.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Clap on, clap off, the clapper.
Yeah, it's catchy.
It is catchy.
Way too catchy.
That was really interesting. So if I think about Alexa now, it's the same idea, right? So it must be that Alexa is much more sensitive and can pick out very specific frequencies beyond just a clap.
Right. Every word, every voice has a characteristic frequency range, whether it's a clap or a footstep or someone's voice. So Alexa can then go a step further and take more sophisticated actions. Instead of just flipping on a switch when it hears something, it could search the internet or play a song, something like that.
All right. So I know a lot of people, including myself, have a lot of these devices, Alexa, Google Home, all that stuff, and they're pretty popular. But what about the clapper? Tell me it's still around.
Believe it or not, it is. even though it is clearly an obsolete technology, it's kicking around on the internet. You can buy them online. They're not foolproof, though. I've heard that a barking dog can set it off.
Well, that would not go well in my house. But it would be useful if I want my lights to turn on when the mailman comes.
Sure, I suppose that could be useful.
All right. Well, thanks, Nick. That wraps up another edition of the Dear Science Podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode. Dear Science is a collaboration between team members at the Connecticut Science Center. Today's episode was written by Nick Villagra. It featured Nick Villagra, Andrew Foda, and Aoife Ryle. The theme song was written and performed by Dan Lamoureux. Sound recording and editing by Nate Gagnon. If you have a question for the Dear Science Podcast, just send us an email at askscience@ctsciencecenter.org.
Dear Science.